I am Matt Parker, your host of the House Rich Homeowner Podcast. Managing your home finances is hard. After many years in the mortgage industry, I've decided to combine my knowledge, resources, and connections and turn them over to you. Each week, I'll be featuring different home finance experts from my own personal insight to help you achieve financial peace at home. Let's go. Hey, Matt Parker here. So grateful to have you with us. Very, very excited to have Anthea Poon with me today. Anthea, thank you.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to this.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it as well. Anthea's been in the industry for over 15 years, buying and selling real estate for clients, and focuses primarily on Vancouver proper and certain areas within Vancouver, South Granville, the West End and the West Side and that sort of thing. We're going to get a lot of very good information today, so I'm very excited for that. Anthea, just a quick fun question. I like to say, what is one thing not many people know about you?
One thing that not many people know about me, if you just met me on the street, is I'm really into sports, and I really enjoy that, and somehow that's actually carried over into my career, which is pretty cool. So I grew up in Calgary. I played tennis and badminton as a child, and somehow I got really into the sport of badminton, which is a pretty unknown sport in Canada. And I was fortunate enough to play that until, I guess, from the age of 12 to 23, 24. And I got to travel a lot internationally, and I would train a lot, and I went to some really flexible schools, which was really cool. So I had a lot of flexibility. And then after I finished that, I thought, okay, that's it. I'm just going to work, and that's no more. But it kind of crept up on me after about 5-10 years. It's back in my life, and I feel so fortunate. I played badminton and tennis at the Vancouver Lawn Tennis and Badminton Club, and I love it. So I feel very fortunate to have that part of my life back.
Oh, very cool. I grew up playing hockey. I played hockey my whole life, so it was more of a team atmosphere. I've always been interested in individual sports like tennis, and where it's all you and you know, no one to fall back on. So it takes a special person.
I don't know. Team sports are really cool too, though, because it's a completely different dynamic, and it takes also very special people to be able to play on teams together. Like in the sports that I play in, you do have like partnerships where you have like a doubles team, mixed doubles team, but not like a large team like that too. So that's really cool. I've never had that opportunity.
Yeah. Wonderful. What drew you to real estate? How did you get started, and sort of what made you want to do this for a career?
It's a good question. I guess I have a marketing background. And so when I was competing in badminton, I was doing my studies as well, but I wasn't that focused on it. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I kind of stumbled my way through it, which was very lucky. And somehow I got a letter from the University of Calgary saying that I'd exceeded the maximum number of credits allowable in the general studies program, and please select a major. So I looked for the courses that I completed, and I was 2 courses shy of a business, of the prereqs for a business degree. So, and I always knew that in my mind. And so I got my degree in marketing, and I got out of university, and my first job out of there, I was a cold caller for a husband and wife team of brokers who I'm still friends with to this day. And they were so amazing to me. And they basically kind of said, look, this is going to be a hard job. It's going to be a great experience. You're going to do it for a year to a year and a half. From there, if you want to continue in this industry, you know, we'll guide you. And if not, then go along your way. So I did it for a year and a half, and it was really humbling, and it was really tough, but it was also very rewarding. And then I ended up living in Toronto. I moved with my partner at the time. And so I was working in Toronto with two other marketing positions. So one, I was an account coordinator, and one, I was an account manager. And then after that, kind of took a step back and ended up moving from Toronto to Vancouver, and had some friends that were in real estate here. And then I decided I was going to give it a try. And it just sort of seemed like all of the jobs that I had leading up to it sort of was all encompassing. So I moved here and gave it a shot, and now here we are.
It's amazing to hear how everyone gets involved in the business. I know I grew up around mortgages, being that my father started a company in the early 90s. So I always say it was easy for me to understand and take that leap in. But I give a lot of credit to anyone that just found it and has success in it and is still doing it till today. Because I think that brings us to, like, why do you love what you do? What has kept you in this profession and serving clients all these years?
I think it's a combination of things. Part of it is from that sports background, and it's the drive, and I like the negotiation aspect of it. I find that very interesting. The other thing I've been able to meet a lot of really nice people along the way. And then when you do that, you start having some really, really interesting experiences. You work hard for them. They're happy. And I think that's what keeps driving you. And obviously, you know, we all have to work in Vancouver. So if I had to pick a job.
Yeah, it's a great place to be. We're so lucky. And you know what? If you weren't doing this, if you weren't in real estate, do you see yourself doing anything else? Maybe something to do with sports or anything along those lines?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I would probably want to be in sports, maybe like on one of those shows where you're like, you know, it's like the late night sports shows. I think I would be in something like that. Or I would do something completely different, and I would be in, like, I think I would be a hairdresser or something. Hmm. So I know I find a lot of things very interesting. So as we are in this COVID situation, I think that a lot of people are concerned about their haircuts.
Yeah, that's true.
I've been giving some haircuts to friends, so it's been working. It's been working well too. Fill my need for my side hustle.
That's funny, right? It's like, it's an underlying concern for everybody that, you know, you just don't think of when you're presented with this.
This is it. The services people use, and then everyone, you know, everyone's kind of, all the ads I'm seeing on Instagram now are all about, like, services that now you would convert to at home, which is interesting too, but.
That's super interesting. Yeah. Now, I mean, we are in a unique time with COVID-19, and just as we're speaking, we're coming into mid-April. So still early on, still new to just sort of what impact this will have on the economy and the housing market. We've seen a lot of impact on interest rates over the last month or so. But in terms of your view or your outlook on everything, do you have any advice for anyone that was or is planning to either buy or sell a home, whether it's in the next couple of months or within the year or so, and how to navigate this, or just what you're seeing in your daily situation?
Yeah, here's what I've just been telling all of my clients is, you know, the real estate market leading up to this, from, let's say, January through until March, it was quite strong. There was a lot of demand in all different property types, different price ranges as well, and the demand was strong. I'm sure you saw it as well with the mortgage applications. So what we've run into right now is, I think we're at a bit of a pause, or we're a little bit on hold. And you know, just taking a step back, I think the numbers for BC in terms of cases of coronavirus in BC versus, like, Quebec and Ontario is significantly lower, which is great. I hope that means that we come out of this a little bit sooner. And I think that if anybody is planning on doing anything this year or has any intentions, now is the time to talk to your realtor and put together a post-COVID plan. And, you know, whether that includes getting your pre-approval, whether that includes figuring, you know, what areas you're looking at, you know, if you drive around the area, figure that out. Then, you know, once we do come out of this, you're not going to be set back with everybody else who's just kind of getting their footing. You're going to be ahead of the game.
Yeah, no, it's a great point, because I always say to clients, let's be as prepared as we possibly can, so we can act quickly and take advantage, not take advantage, but be ready to act if needed.
This is it. And I mean, now more than ever, we have time to look at our real estate. We're at home all day, right? You can set aside some time, figure out what your game plan is. The other thing I was that I've been telling my clients is, I think after this whole thing with COVID, when we do come out of it, a lot of first-time home buyers are going to be not in the same position that they were leading up to it. So I think that's going to open the markup to sort of it's going to open the market up to different segments in that price brackets. So we're going to see more investors. We're going to see maybe some downsizers, some people doing somewhat lateral moves, but we're going to see some shifting in the market. But even right now, even though I said we are on hold and we're kind of at a pause, we are still seeing competing offers. We're just not seeing as many. It's a lot more serious buyers. And anyone that's just not sure has taken a step back, which is good because it's safer for everyone in the community. And, you know, we're not, we're being very efficient in terms of how the market is running. So we are still seeing competing offers across the board, from detached homes to condos to townhomes.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, people will always want or need to move, regardless of what the external factors are. So I think that, you know, being classified as an essential service is very important. And then I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but I've been thinking a lot on when we get through this, wherever long that takes, 3, 6, however many months to actually get through to a new normal. Do you have thoughts on, my projection is there's potential that we could have a very low inventory, but then, because we're not seeing as much new inventory over the coming months, and then everyone will probably have cabin fever and be ready to buy or spend money again if they have it, or if they have you know, employment and that, all that kind of stuff still, which is probably very, very possible. Do you see a lot of activity in terms of it turning more into a seller's market because of low inventory and everyone ready to maybe get back into the market when things start to clear up?
Yeah, I think we're going to see something similar to, and I'm not forecasting anything, but I think we're going to see.
I know.
But, you know, what we saw, yeah. Yeah. Remember 08-09, in January of 2009, when we were just kind of at the tail end of the recession, you could buy a house on the east side for $550,000. I'm not saying that was the average price, but the fact that you could buy a home for $550,000 in January of 2009 was pretty insane. Anybody in during that time who had their post-recession plan in place, had everything lined up, when it was time to pull the trigger, they were ready to. So those were the people that were getting the $550,000 deals. And I think what we're going to see right now is the same thing. Anyone who's ready will be able to move forward pretty quickly. But I think a lot of people are hesitating right now or somewhat apprehensive. Hold on, I'm just losing my thought here. I think people are going to try to wait out the market and try to time it so that when it's right, then they'll start to buy. But the thing about this herd mentality is everyone does that at the same time. So you're actually not going to get what you're looking for. And we're going to have, I would say, low inventory to start. I really think that we're going to have a strong back half of the year. And so it's it is something for us to look forward to, just kind of where we're at right now. So hopefully we have enough listings and, you know, there's the high demand and everyone can kind of just get back into it.
I think that brings us back to that being prepared, planning, being organized, and taking this time to be able to do that with a little bit more potentially free time or personal time available to organize and to think of what is the plan, where do we want to be, and what do we want to achieve. So, yeah, exactly. Wonderful. I mean, you've seen probably a lot of properties, a lot of transactions over a few years here. Is there one that stands out as the most memorable to you, whether a property or just a situation that you want to speak on?
Yeah, I have two, actually. Is that okay?
Yeah, of course.
So the one, okay, they're both very memorable because the first one was my first house sale ever. And, I'd just gotten into the industry. I had just moved here. It was 2005, let's say. And I started working with somebody who was really, really kind to me. And they'd been in the industry for about 15 years. And so I'd called him and I'd said, can I buy some buyer leads off you? And he said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm actually looking for a partnership and I want to free up some time. I'm going to show you the ropes and, you know, we're going to work. And I said, okay. So he showed me how to call on an expired listing. So This house on Nanaimo and East First, this very busy corner, had been on the market for probably like 6 months. So me being the cold caller, I was the voice. So I call, and it's this old Italian man, and we could barely understand each other. And somehow he told me to come down to, on Commercial Drive, do you know that sports bar where they play poker in the back?
Oh, okay. Yes.
I want you to come in the back room and we'll talk there. So during this poker game, I had to go in there, have this conversation with him. Basically got the listing signed up. It was the hardest house I ever had to sell, but the best experience ever. I remember my friends, when I first got the sign up, like, I saw the sign, it's so great. And I was ecstatic. I said, yeah, it is. It's fantastic, right? Then the sign was off for 3 months. It's on your sign. But then, you know, it's crazy. That house as well at that time was $525,000. I can remember it. It sold for $525,000. And now it's gone into an assembly, and they've been probably 2-3 times that. So my first one. That's the most memorable. The second one is I just bought my apartment 8 years ago, and I threw a party, and I had a housewarming party. And I guess my neighbor had also moved in the same week. So he was very nice. He was outgoing. We didn't even know each other. And he came and knocked on the door. And I put up signs in the building saying, come by, anyone, like, feel free, drop by. So he said, well, I just saw your sign, so I'm dropping by. And I said, oh, great, come on in. And then we became friends. And he was a really, really nice man. And then it was just interesting because he decided he wanted to sell his apartment and carry on his life plan. And he had it all planned out. And I've been beside him doing, the purchases and sales to the last one where he had this Coral Harbor sub penthouse unit in this building called Cielo. And I remember when I was helping him sell him into it, he loved it. He thought it was amazing. And then last year it was the right time to let it go so that he can move on to his next property and retire there. So that's all happened. And so I think the whole progression is very memorable for me. And those are the kinds of clients that I really love. And that's what keeps me in this business.
So organic, right? Just from a normal conversation creates a relationship, which creates trust, which is lifelong friends and client and business partnership for the long term. That's so cool. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, my pleasure. What about you? Can I ask you that? Same question. What's the most memorable?
No one's ever come back at me. I've had quite a few memorable ones. Anytime I've had to get my own mortgage, I realize how stressful and challenging it really is. So it puts me right back into the client's shoes. So those probably are actually the most memorable because I realize that, you know, I do this every day, but it's not that easy to be on the other side of things. Yeah. But one I would say would be being able to help client facilitate financing to open businesses and to open and move on and get into sort of their career dreams or their family dreams. I mean, you know, transaction wise, we see a lot more. We don't get into the house with them as much as you're able to do. So, we've definitely had a lot of very good experiences over the years. But thank you for catching me off guard there. That's a good one. I do talk to clients a lot about the plan and building wealth and creating wealth with real estate and leveraging lines of credit for other investment, that sort of thing. So that's sort of why I talk about being house rich instead of house poor. It's not about you know, how much can I pay? It's how much do I want to pay? And how do I, you know, access funds out of the property to create comfort, create wealth going forward? When I say house rich, or when you think of anything in terms of, property rich, or just in terms of Vancouver and our market, what do you think of when I say that term?
House rich. I mean, it's really interesting that you ask this question right now, because it puts this whole COVID crisis puts everything into perspective. You know, it's definitely made me realize, you know, there's certain things that we don't need. And there's, you know, especially living in Vancouver, I think what I see a lot is there's a lot of people that play house, right? Because it is Vancouver. And you get in, and it's probably everywhere as well, but you get into these relationships where you're playing house and you've got these big houses and there's so much pressure. I think for me, house rich is the way I see it is, do you like your neighborhood? Does your house meet all of your needs? Are you comfortable in your house? Like, do you love coming home? Do you love spending time there? Doesn't matter what size is. It doesn't matter, you know, what personally do you like? And I've come to realize that after moving here to the West End, that for me, I feel so fortunate to have Stanley Park in my backyard. There's tennis courts, same thing. There's tennis courts a block and a half away. Obviously, they're shut down right now. My apartment is just west of Denman, and so it's a really nice, quiet location. And I used to live near in Yaletown, downtown, Gastown. When I first moved here, I actually lived in a lot of the different neighborhoods because I wanted to get a feel for them, and I was really lucky to be able to do that too. It was a lot. It was just very different, and I was obviously younger then. Once I moved to the West End, I normally move every 4 years. I've been here for 8. So I've come to realize that for me, house rich is not just what's inside the house. What are your surroundings? And like, how happy are you to go home to that, right? I don't know. How do you see house rich? Sorry to throw this back at you.
Yeah, well, I talk about when I talk to clients, it's where do I want to be? Where's my dream location? And then does that fit the budget? It's not about what can I afford? I think too many people focus on that. It's about what do I want to pay, or what actually fits well with a professional budget, and so I can live life, have fun, and enjoy the things that I want to do. Because we're in a city that you want to get out and enjoy the things that you want to do, and live your life, and not just work to live, I guess, which is sort of my sort of philosophy on it. So it's very much exactly what you said. It's not what can I get, it's what do I want, and what am I comfortable with, and where do I want to be, and how can I live life to the fullest by achieving that.
Yeah, I agree.
Wonderful. Well, Anthony, thank you so much again for joining me and sharing your wisdom and your experience. Where would be the best place to for anyone that's looking to buy a home or thinking about selling their home going forward, where would be the best place to find you?
You can find me. Well, you can find me. My office is at Stillhaven, which is 36 East 5th Avenue. It's right just outside of Olympic Village. So you can find me there. You can easily find me online. My phone number is there. And you can find me on Instagram. I have a lot of people that actually message me directly there and by email. So my website is pretty straightforward. It's my first and my last name. So it's anthiapoon.com. And you can find me there and find all the information as well.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again. Grateful for your time. We'll be in touch and we'll talk to you very soon.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for taking the time today to talk. I had a really nice time and I really liked your questions.
Thank you. Thank you. If you're like many of our clients, you have no idea if you can save money on your mortgage or build wealth from your home. 5 minutes could save you thousands on your mortgage. With our innovative mortgage management system, we'll track your current mortgage and monitor changes in the market that could save you a ton of money. Go to mattparker.ca to join us and live a house-rich life. We are so grateful for our listeners on the House Rich Homeowner and want to keep producing content that you want to hear and would love your feedback. Make sure to leave a review and subscribe to the podcast to help us grow the House Rich community.